Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta, or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This state of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or Shuddha Sattva. Only in this Shuddha Sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalobadayaschaye Cheta etarna vidham stitam sattve prasidate. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyebhacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's lovely to be here. I work a little harder at Christmas, not for the right reasons, but those on the street, they work for the right reasons. Yasmin tushti jagat tushtam. If you nourish the root, then everyone becomes satisfied. This is the principle of Krishna consciousness. At the time of the Christmas marathon, I feel that the energy level of the temple drops. But actually it's because the energy is going out. And then at the end of the marathon, the energy all comes flooding back in. I remember back to Ruben saying, the kirtans after the Christmas marathon, they have a special energy. Because people get energized. So this is the principle. You know, when Duryodhana, he had this plan to get Durvasa Muni to curse the Pandavas. So he arranged that Durvasa Muni and his disciples would arrive just at the time when the Pandavas had already eaten. So they had this, the, this Akshay Patra, the plate that would produce unlimited prasadam until, who would eat? Draupadi, right? Draupadi would be the last to eat, and then they wouldn't produce any more. So just at that time, Draupadi had eaten, and Durvasa Muni and disciples come, then there's a problem, what to do? So Krishna, being the super soul, he knew. So when the disciples were off bathing before, they were thinking they were going to get fed. The Pandavas are in a panic. Krishna comes and he sees a little bit of shak and he eats it. And because he's satisfied, suddenly all the disciples of Durvasa Muni become satisfied. And they think, well, we better not turn up now because it would be rude not to honor prasadam and we're full up. So this is the principle. Krishna's satisfied, we all become satisfied. I was actually reflecting about this devotee care. I don't know much about devotee care. ISKCON is becoming huge in terms of departments. So I operate within a certain field, and I just hear these terms, and I don't really know exactly how they do things. So devotee care is very important. But I was thinking there's also a danger of devotee care. If the care becomes insular, inward-pointing, then it becomes looking after the body and the emotions of the devotees, which is nice. But then we may forget to look after the bigger picture, like the people in general. So on purport, Prabhupada explains that if we do not teach Krishna consciousness to the general public, that is violence. So devotee care is very good. I was reflecting, in the early days of ISKCON, there was not enough devotee care, but there was a lot of non-devotee care. Because devotees were out on the street a lot. So we were caring for the needs of the general public. Now in ISKCON, it's more, pendulum swung the other way. We're more towards devotee care, which is very good, but we're less towards non-devotee care. So we want to have both, right? Anyway, why did I say this? What made me think about devotee care? Anyway, yeah, it's the principle of Yasmin Tushti Jagat Tushtam. Sometimes, in order to care for ourselves, we have to neglect ourselves because we have our lower self and our higher self. So what I like about the Christmas marathon, Prabhupada marathon, is that we have a chance to, we always have a chance, but it's particularly a time where we get into the mood of running down our reserves and surrendering to a greater degree than normal. And that's destroying our false ego. And at the same time, we're engaged in a very potent activity, as the Bhagavad Gita states, Nacha tasman manushyesyu kaschid me priya kritama bhavata nacha me kaschin anya priya taro bhuve. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. This is a statement about book distribution. It's important that we understand the Bhagavad Gita through Srila Prabhupada, because the actual previous verse, Mad Bhakteshva Bidasyati, Bhakti Mai Paramkritva, Mami Vaishya Jisam Shaiha. There is no one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. So one may read this verse and think it's about explaining to the devotees. Therefore, the best thing to do is devotees explaining to devotees, which is an interpretation because bhakta means devotee. But Prabhupada, he would often quote this and say, therefore, we are distributing books. So for him, bhakteshu means the general public. Everyone's a devotee, just like they're covered devotees. Therefore, explaining the supreme secret to the devotees includes giving the higher taste, chant and be happy, Bhagavad Gita to the general public, because they are also devotees. So it's important that we understand the Bhagavad Gita through Srila Prabhupada. If we didn't, we might end up thinking the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, the highest goal is to have retreats and we'll just discuss Bhagavad Gita with ourselves, because then we're explaining it to the devotees. That is the most dearest thing we can do. No, explain book distribution as well. Anyway, today's verse. Consciousness is eternal. The body is temporary. The subtle body, it can exist for many, many lifetimes, and it does. So the gross and the subtle body, they are anarta. There's a verse in the first canto, yaya samoita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute natam tadkritam chabipajati. By the influence of the illusory energy, we consider this body, which is composed of the three modes of material nature, to be ourselves, even though we are transcendental. It is actually anarta, it is not wanted. So it helps in spiritual life to understand that the body is anarta, it is not wanted. Our body is a great attachment in our conditioned state, but actually it's not wanted. Now the material body isn't such a problem, because it can only last for roughly 80 years and then it drops. So we're guaranteed to shed the material body. But the subtle body, that's a bigger problem, because we actually have to do the work to get rid of it. It won't just go away by itself. We have to practice devotional service to make it go away. It's a crisis. You know, there's a group of, earlier on the last century, well, middle of last century, there was a group of French philosophers called the existentialists. And they emphasized that man is condemned to be free. Freedom is a type of pain. When we have to make decisions that causes us anguish, if we don't have freedom, we're in some ways more happy. Our freedom is a source of distress for us. They even give the example, why is it that people are very afraid to approach a cliff? Because we know we never fall over. We walk down the street all the time. We don't just kind of suddenly fall over. So it's like we're thinking we're going to fall off. We're obviously not going to fall off. Why do we get vertigo? The answer they give is because we don't trust ourselves. Something inside us thinks, I could jump. I have the freedom to do it. Maybe I will. And then we become afraid. We don't even trust our own freedom. We have huge freedom. But that freedom gives us distress. Now, what's the Krishna conscious perspective? The term existentialism means our existence precedes our essence. It means we don't have any essence. We define ourselves. We create ourselves. The opposite term is essentialism. Devotees, we're essentialists. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nichidas. We're servants of Krishna. Our essence is already defined. Now, within Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are different schools of thought, and we're not going to discuss them here. But some people are of the understanding from reading scripture that the actual details of our service to Krishna have yet to be determined, and it depends on what we cultivate. So if we cultivate a certain mood, we become a certain thing. We have a certain particular relationship with Krishna. Other people will say, no, our everything is predetermined. We are what we are. We have a set service for Krishna, and that's already determined. And we just simply have to cleanse the heart, and that will become revealed. Both schools are there, and they sometimes discuss. Anyway, if it's the case that our swarup develops, and we actually choose our service to Krishna, then in that sense we're existentialists, because our practice will determine our position in the spiritual world. But if, on the other hand, it's already predetermined, then we are 100% essentialists. So let's talk about freedom. What is binding us? It is Raja and Tama. This is the day's verse. It talks about the effects of Raja and Tama. Now that causes us pain. I was mentioning how we have this subtle body. It is our main problem, because it won't go away by itself. We have to do the work to get rid of it. So the way to do that is through devotional service. The previous verse to this, Nasta Prayesh Vabhajashu Nacham Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavachu Tamasloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. We become fixed up through regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the Bhagavat. There's two Bhagavats. There's person Bhagavat and there's book Bhagavat. Through the service of both of them, we transcend the modes of material nature. Now here's a bit of advice. If you're ever not sure what the meaning of a verse is, one thing you can do is to read the purport. You will often get the answer. I had this problem. For over a year, I was thinking about this verse and thinking, Sattva, what does it mean? Does it mean mundane goodness? Or does it mean Shuddha Sattva? See, it was a puzzle for me because, well, sattva, just by itself, it could mean either. And then I thought, well, why not just read the purport? And it's answered in the purport. And it says you come to the platform of goodness, and then you make further progress to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. So both stages are there. It's through sattva and then Shuddha Sattva. Now, there's a parallel text to the Bhagavad Gita, similar verse, called the Uddhava Gita. It's in the 11th canto. And there's a verse that explicitly explains that you conquer passion and ignorance by goodness, and then you conquer goodness by pure goodness. There's a phrase in Sanskrit, hanyat sattvam sattvena. That means by goodness we conquer goodness. So it's clearly stating that we go through goodness to Shuddha Sattva. And it's almost counterintuitive for the following reason. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is a spiritual activity. Therefore, it should produce spiritual results. So why would you come to the mundane mode of goodness from a spiritual activity? Surely you would just go directly to Shuddha Sattva. That's the way I look at it. Sukriti is of three types. One's called Karmonmukha Sukriti. That is the type of activity that gives you material happiness. Then there's a second type called Gyanonmukha Sukriti. It's the type of Sukriti that will lead you to Brahman realization. And then there's Bhakchonmukha Sukriti, the type of Sukriti that will lead you to devotional service, or it will give you bhakti. They run on separate tracks. You can't cash in. You can't go to the exchange and say, I have this heap of Karmonmukha Sukriti. Could you swap it for this amount of Bhakchonmukha Sukriti? It doesn't work. Which is why we have these strange pastimes where people like Jagai and Madai, the lowest of the low, they get the mercy. Well, why did they get the mercy? What was their Sukriti? The answer is there wasn't any. It runs on separate tracks. Bhakcha, Sanjataya Bhakcha. Devotion comes from devotion and not nowhere else. Or Bhakti comes from Bhakti. So, from that point of view, it's counterintuitive to think that from Bhakti we'll get the mode of goodness. Because mode of goodness is mundane. Why would it come as a result? But actually, although the mode of goodness is mundane, there are many advantages to it. In the first canto it said, Sattvam Yad Brahma Darshanam. From Sattva, we get Brahma Darshan. We have the possibility to attain transcendence. For example, the sadhu, who is free from material nature, he goes out, he distributes Prabhupada's books, he speaks to this person, that person. Who will take the Bhakti Lata Beej? Who will take it? If someone doesn't have it, there's nothing will cause that person to take it. There's no precondition to taking the Bhakti Lata Beej. However, if someone's in the mode of goodness, something very wonderful can happen when he gets that chance association with the sadhu. He will be polite. And from that politeness, he will get Bhakchonmukha Sukriti. So although the mode of goodness is mundane, it is the platform by which, if he does get the chance, it will be very effective. So he will make advancement from his politeness, even though he had no Sukriti from the spiritual platform. He will also have a less disturbed mind. So if he reads a book, it will go in quicker. Prabhupada gives the example, wet grass, moist grass, and dry grass. Mode of ignorance is like the wet grass. When someone in the mode of ignorance comes in contact with devotional service, they don't take advantage. Someone in the mode of passion, well, it's moist grass, they may be a little bit more interested. But someone in the mode of goodness, that's like the dry grass. So when you light the match, the fire comes, then it blazes. So we see people in the mode of goodness, if they come to devotional service, they can make rapid advancement. Here's an example. In Jiva Dharma, there's a Mayavad Sannyas. Now, Mayavadis, they're in the mode of goodness. Sannyas, Jnana, Jnan is a high platform. Mode of goodness. This example of this Sannyasi, very qualified, Mayavadi. He comes in contact with a devotee, and after 3 days, he's experiencing bhav. So we ask ourselves, well, I've been doing it for 3 decades or whatever. I don't experience bhav. Why is he experiencing bhav? Point is, if you start from the platform of goodness, then very quickly you can make spiritual advancement. So sattvam yad brahmadarshanam. It's very valuable to be in the mode of goodness. So if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the effects of nature's passion and ignorance. They become cleared. We come to mode of goodness. And then from goodness, quickly we come to Shuddha Sattva. So what's the definition of Shuddha Sattva? It's mentioned here, Brahmabhuta and Atmanandi, the stage of self-satisfaction. There's another phrase called Vasudev. It's mentioned here. We rise to the position of Vasudev. So there's a famous verse in the, is it third canto? Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yadiyade Tatra Praman Apavrita Sattve Chatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Yatokshijo Me Namasa Vidhiyate. This is Lord Shiva speaking. He says, the platform of Shuddha Sattva is known as the Vasudeva platform. And on that platform, one gets direct realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very important. If one is in Shuddha Sattva consciousness, one is worshipping the Lord within the heart. It's in connection with the pastime where Daksha comes into the assembly, and he thinks, he's one of these foolish people who thinks, I am this body. Atmanam trigunatmanam, atmakam. The body made of material nature is me. Yaya samoita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. He thinks, I am this body. Therefore, when he sees Lord Shiva does not offer him respects, he becomes offended. You do not respect my body. In the purport, Prabhupada explains, he's a fool. The respect that we give is not to the body, it's to the supersoul within the body. This is a good thing to remember if you have problems being humble and submissive towards someone who annoys you. You don't want to bow down to someone because you think they're a jerk. Maybe they are a jerk from the material platform, but the point is they're a devotee, so they're a transcendental jerk, so to speak. Very quickly they will become righteous. Yeah, kshipram bhavati dharmatma. They will very quickly become righteous, so you're not supposed to see them as a jerk. Vaishnave jati buddhi yashyavara naraki saha. One who judges according to material qualifications, a Vaishnav, is already naraki, a resident of hell. Anyway, if you want to get round the problem, you have trouble being submissive to the jerk, so to speak. You don't want to bow down to the jerk. Then you should understand that you're not actually bowing down to the body. You're not even bowing down to the jerkness within them. You're bowing down to the super soul. So it makes Vaishnav dealings very nice. And what's very interesting is, even though you may know this person is not bowing down to me, he's bowing down to the super soul, you still feel very happy when someone is respectful to you. It's just the way it works. Why? Yasmin tushti jagat tushtam. Because if Krishna's satisfied, if the super soul's satisfied, you're satisfied. You appreciate their respect for the super soul. Returning to the purport. So Prabhupada explains, as the verse indicates, namasa vidyate, you are worshipping the super soul by being in Sudasattva consciousness. Therefore Lord Shiva, he didn't disrespect Daksha. Even though he did not stand up, he did not offer respects, he was already doing so because he was already respecting the super soul within Daksha's heart, because he was respecting the super soul within everyone's heart, because Shadvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam, he's on the platform of Sudasattva. Makes sense, right? So, as I said, if you don't know the answer, read the purport. So the purport explains, we come to goodness, and then from goodness we come to Shuddha Sattva, which means pure goodness. And in the next text, begins, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. So we've gone through goodness and unalloyed goodness in two verses. So, here's a nice... I thought the last part of the purport was interesting, so I'm going to change topic. I'm going to talk about the qualities of God. It says, a devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. So in the Nectar of Devotion, also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also in Madhya Lila, chapter 23, there is a description of the qualities of the Lord. So how many qualities are mentioned? 64. It's a mistake to think the Lord has 64 qualities. He actually has unlimited, but 64 are prominent. How many qualities does Radharani have? 25 is mentioned. Also a mistake to think she only has 25. She has unlimited, but 25 are prominent. Lord Brahma prays, Gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatum hitavati anasya ka isharisha kalena yaiva vimita sukalpai bupunkshava ke mehika jubashaha. One may count the snowflakes, one may count the luminaries in the sky, one may count the atoms, but one can never count the qualities of the Lord. The Lord is called Gunatma. He's a full of qualities. And the good news is, if we become Krishna conscious, then we can manifest these qualities, and then we can, as a result, we can be attractive to the non-devotees, and we can help to deliver them. It's hard to distribute Prabhupada's books if we don't have good qualities. Some devotees have certain qualities, and on the street, people immediately warm to them, and then they distribute books. I don't have these qualities. I'm one of the lowest. I do it for my own purification. Devotee recently was giving class, and he encouraged, actually he was quoting Mahatma Prabhu, saying, even if you distribute no books, you've still purified yourself by your efforts. So that's my mantra now. You know, I purify by my effort. I don't get much result, but it's a nice feeling. You'd feel good afterwards that you made that sacrifice. So the Lord, he has unlimited qualities. 64 are prominent. Jivas can have up to 50. And Vishnu, he can have 60. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and some prominent demigods, they can have 55. Krishna, has 64. The four famous ones, the four unique ones that Krishna has, Venu Madhurya, beautiful flute playing. Rupa Madhurya, his wonderful form. Prema Madhurya, his wonderful loving exchanges. And, what's the last one? Lila Madhurya, his wonderful pastimes. Thank you very much. What are the qualities that Lord Narayan has and Lord Krishna has? There's 60 that Krishna has. There's 64 that Krishna has, but there's 60 that Narayan has that Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and the Jivas don't have. So what are the five extra ones that Narayan has, which we don't have, and which the principal demigods don't have? Anyone know? Okay, one of them is, do you know? No. Okay, Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, which means, what does that mean? Anyone can try and deconstruct the Sanskrit or interpret the Sanskrit? Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. Yeah, unlimited universes emanate from his body. Thank you very much. Here's one. Avataravali Bija. What do you think that means? Avatar, Avali, Bija. Yes, he's the source of all incarnations. Next one. Avichincha, Mahashakti. Yeah, and inconceivable potencies. You see, we all know Sanskrit. We've been here long enough. We can translate these things. Next one. Hata, Ari, Gati, Dayaka. Ari means enemy. Atari Gati Dayaka. He gives liberation to his enemies. Very magnanimous. He doesn't put them in prison. He gives them liberation. And Atmarama Gana Karshi. What does that mean? Atmarama Gana Karshi. He's attractive even to the self-satisfied. You know the famous Atmarama verse. Krishna has so many qualities that even those are Atmarama, they are still attracted by them. And Kurvancha Hoitukim Bhaktim Itam Buddha Guno Harihi. They engage in unmotivated devotional service to him, because even though they're self-satisfied, there's something about Krishna, something about Lord Narayan, that he's so nice that he attracts us even though we are completely self-satisfied. Wonderful qualities. Now let's look at the jivas. So there's a nice verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's Jiveshveti Visanto Pi Bindu Bindutaya Kvachit Paripurnataya Bhante Tatraiva Purushottami. The jivas, they may have some of the qualities of Krishna, bindu bindutaya, a drop of a drop. Whereas for Purushottam or Krishna, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gauritai ki jai. So for the jivas, the qualities, it's bindu bindutaya, which means a drop of a drop. And even then, kvachit, sometimes. We say we have 50. Well, sometimes we may not have even have 50. And if we do, it's bindu bindutaya, a drop of a drop. Such a small amount. But for the Lord, it's paripurnataya, incomplete fullness. He is the ocean of qualities. It's good to highlight the difference between Krishna and us. If we understand Krishna's great, 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 and we're very, very small, this is a very nice situation for Bhakti Yoga. Because it's just the principle of love, that the great is very attracted to the tiny. You know, dogs are not so attractive, but puppies, oh, so cute. Because they're so small, and you think, oh, little baby kittens. Children, you know, well, everyone's got their own taste. The problem with young children is they just go blah, 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 blah. So they're not very intellectually stimulating. Younger, a little bit older, and they start saying things, and you think, oh, that was clever, and that's kind of intellectually interesting. But from the point of nurturing, from the Vatsalya point of perspective, the baby's so floppy, and if you don't feed it, it's going to die, and that kind of creates a certain rasa there. So the very small is attractive to the very big. Krishna's like the magnet and we're like the iron filing. But if we think we're the big, then we're a competitor to Krishna, then the loving exchange won't be there. So it's good to remember, bindu bindu taya, we actually are very, very small. And that's if we become perfect. Because we're not even perfect, we're even lower than that. We haven't manifested our 50 tiny qualities. They're there in dormant form. So that should be a humbling thought that, well, if I become perfect, I will become tiny, and then Krishna will be attracted to me because I know that I'm tiny. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said a very interesting thing. Actually, the existentialists say the same thing. They say, man is an illusion. He doesn't know what he is. His nature is different. His real nature is different to what he thinks he is. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the same thing. We, as human beings, we're very proud. We think we're great, but actually we're very small. But then he says, whereas the blade of grass doesn't have this problem, the blade of grass is small and knows it's small. It's not trying to live a different thing than what it is. So we're in some sense even worse than grass because we think we're something that we're not. Actually, we're very small. Tranadapi sanishina tarorava sahishina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And if we realize we're small, if we get off our horse, our high horse, get off our platform, then we can chant and we can actually listen to the holy names rather than just being on some ego trip. Have you done ego? Anyone done egotistical japa? I've done it. I do it all the time. You start to think, I'm going to become good. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this. It's just nonsense. We actually understand that Krishna's gunatma. He's the source of all qualities. And I'm not going to become anything unless I surrender to Krishna and he will give me the qualities. And even then, I don't want those qualities for my sake. I just take them and I use them in Krishna's service. That's the proper attitude. If we, as soon as we think these are my qualities, then we're in illusion. It's ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. I think I'm the doer, then I'm already vimudatma. In the Bhagavad Gita. And what's the opposite? Naiva kinchit karomita yukto manyeta tatvavit. That those who are tatvavit, they understand naiva kinchit karomi. It's the inverted commas. Iti means inverted commas in Sanskrit. So naiva kinchit karomi means I am doing nothing. Krishna's explaining how the tatvavits, those who know the truth, their mood is, Naiva Kinchid Karomi. It's in, I can't remember which chapter. It's the verse that talks about Sparshan, Jigran, Svapnan, Svapan, all these things, doing various things. The senses are just engaging their objects. And one thinks, I am doing nothing. We should live in this material body thinking, I am not the doer. That's the message. And anything else is simply ahankar or vimudatma. We are fools. So I've waffled on. Thank you for tolerating me. There's time, there's 7 minutes left. If there's any questions or comments, otherwise I'll continue to ramble on. Thank you. Hare Krishna.